You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Because we're believing, we're prophesying, we're speaking into being all the many spaces that we are occupying as a church. And as we've just been singing, till the walls come down, is that a prophetic statement that the walls are going to come down in an orderly manner? Safety, you know, safety first and everything. But we're believing for expansion and growth, I say, across all seven of our locations. And I'm excited, been on this journey in Chester right from the beginning. In fact, and I'm Manchester as well. Did you see Mark looking so young with hair, bless him, in the VT? He's still got some. I'm not saying he's not got any, just a little less. Okay, it's good. He's not here. He's in Geneva today. Geneva campus. But we've been speaking about spaces across many things and really launching from this Psalm 18, where it's talking about, it says, he reached down from on high, took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from the powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And this whole series, yes, we're believing that God is taking us into a spacious place as a church, like physically into all the spaces that we're going to occupy, but also metaphorically for us as individuals, believing that God is taking us from places of restriction, of limitation, of maybe small thinking, confinement, and putting every one of us into a spacious place filled with possibility, filled with opportunity to live free and expansive lives. So we're believing that for every one of us. And we've been looking at many different spaces. Space for purpose, space to make a statement, space, last week we heard from Danny, space for generations, believing that we're going to occupy spaces for all generations, that we're going to leave a legacy, that we're living for bigger than the here and now. And today I want to land, just before we bring come to our final part next week at the Vision Party, that we want to speak into space for others. Space for others. So with all this building talk, kind of the Manchester, obviously you've seen there, the Manchester building, which is we're going to press go on at Easter next year, which is super exciting. The building here, and again, across all our locations, talking buildings. I've been reminiscing about the many church buildings that I have been in from my childhood. And the first one that I remember, we were actually meeting as a church in a cinema, which I loved, but I was really upset every Sunday because I would walk by the popcorn machine, which was turned off. Like, what's the point in that? I remember just saying to my dad, Dad, if they open the popcorn machine on a Sunday and the sweets that you could buy, I'm like, number one, the cinema would make money. You know, that's a good thing. And number two, we'd all enjoy church way more if we sat there eating popcorn. From a really young age, I've been excited about church experience, making it the best. Anyway, so that was the cinema. Then I moved into a school hall. Anyone done church in school halls? Praise the Lord. We've done that with the apparatus at the side. I always wanted to climb up that. Done that. Then I moved to sports hall, an actual sports hall. I had church in a sports hall. And then I've moved to many different warehouses, which is what we seem to be. But as I was thinking about all these different buildings, really what I remember is not so much the buildings, but it was all about the people that were in the building. All about the people that occupied those places, all spaces, all about the people that I did life with. And what I want is to remind many of us, or maybe you just kind of visiting or you're new to the church, of what at Audacious Church, what our heart is that we are all about people. That people matter. That everything we do, everything we're about, everything is about people. people. You see, we're not just a charitable organization. We're not just a noble cause. We're not just a missional endeavor. We're not just a place where we come on a Sunday and discuss theology. But when we actually kind of get to grips with our ecclesiology, in other words, our theology, when we look at the church and how it functions and its purpose, what we come to the conclusion is this, is that we are a group of people, that we are a team, that we're a community, that we are in fact a family. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You see, people matter to God. See, God draws people out of loneliness, out of isolation, out of doing life on their own. And he puts them, as it says in Psalm 68, verse 6, God sets the lonely in families. What he does is he opens up possibility of connection, opportunity to feel love, opportunity for security, opportunity for a sense of belonging, and he brings them into a spacious place. I think when we read through the Bible and look at the life of Jesus, he was all about people. Everywhere he went, he was with people. He was for people. He said, let the little children come to me. He created space for the children. He walked and talked to people, and he wanted to create space for the sick, space for the marginalized, space for the outcast, space for the sinner. Everything that Jesus did was about people. So it's really clear when we read the Word of God, when we look at the life of Jesus, that people mattered, that he was about creating space for others. And I think the challenge for us today is, are we creating space for others? Are we doing that? Because the thing is that I think if I said anybody, like, you know, we want to create space for other people, everyone would be like, yeah, we want more people, we want more people. But the tension is real, because more people equals more problems. Okay? Come on, let's be honest in the house of God, not just me. That, you know, sometimes other people, it can be inconvenient. It can be costly. It can be frustrating. It means we have to go out of our way. It means our plans might have to change. The trouble is that the more people we have, the more problems we have. Other people's baggage, other people's problems, other people's issues. It can be hard work. And it actually says in James 3, verse 17 and 18 in the Message, it says here, I'll read from here, you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. See, other people can be hard work, but I don't know about you, but we want to believe as a church that there are many, many people out there, your friends, your family, your work colleagues, who yet do not know the love of God, who yet we want to say, hey, let's create space for these people, that we don't just come in on a Sunday morning for 90 minutes and sit and enjoy everything and take it all in. But actually, it's about other people, creating space for others to encounter God. So I want us to take a few moments this morning to look at a passage in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 12. I lost this verse in the first service. I found it. It's good. It says this. It says from verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And I love this passage. It's a passage about the power and the necessity of relationship with other people. And I think it helps us give a framework of, okay, if we want to invite people in, if we want to say the city of Chester, the region that we have here, if we want to create space, what kind of space do we want to create? What is it that we want to create here for people? And this passage helps give us some ideas here. And the first thing is this, is that we as a church, we want to create space for connection. It says right at the top, two are better than one. Now, I don't know about you whether you class yourself as an introvert or an extrovert. Okay, I won't get a show of hands because all the introverts won't want to show their hands. But I've kind of been thinking about this, and I would say that I'm a little bit of a mixture. I'm a bit of an introvert at times, like time on my own, but also I like to be with people. And I actually discovered that there's a whole name for this, and it is called an ambivert. Ambivert. I also thought that actually, Emily, you're actually more like Jesus than you think, because Jesus too, I feel, was an ambivert, because he was with the crowds, wasn't he? He spent time with people, but it also says quite often that he, he went into a quiet place, like he went on his own. But anyway, I'm thinking that really, I do like to do things when it comes to, definitely when it comes to the boring jobs of life. I like to deal with people because, you know, when you come to do like the mundane and the boring jobs, you know, for example, the shopping, I like to take someone with me. And now my kids are a bit older. I'm always like, yeah, come on, come and join me. Come and help me. Please just come and help me do the shopping. The only issue I've discovered is it costs twice as much if they come because they're like putting it all in. But the thing is that life is better with other people. Doing things in life, it is better doing it with other people. And God himself, he got this right from the beginning in Genesis 2. The Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. You see, God saw the deficit in man's solidarity and was like, no, don't want him to do life on his own, labor in this garden. I'm going to bring someone to do it with him because life is better. Two is better than one. And in a world where we are so easily connectable to anyone, anywhere, at any time by the touch of a screen, we can be connected. Yet we are being called the most loneliest generation. Wow. You know, and we really believe that we want to be a place, a house, a family where people can come in and get real, authentic relationship. In fact, it's one of our core values that we're authentically relational because God is authentically relational. He wants to connect with people, not from afar, not from a distance, but bring them in and have full relationship with them. And we want this to be a place where people from all walks of life can come in and find connection, that they become part of the body of Christ that we read at the beginning. I love to be on the doors on a Sunday, watching all the different people come in the foyer, and especially in Manchester, the foyer there is pretty big, but we're going for a bigger one because we can't fit everyone in. And I love to see, you can kind of see the people that walk in for the very first time, and they're kind of looking like a bit like a rabbit in headlights, thinking like, you know, where do I go? What happens? And then I love it a few weeks later when I see that they walk in and they're not on their own anymore, and they're chatting to someone in the coffee queue, they're kind of having a laugh, kind of having connecting. I love it that people connect from all different walks of life, connect over different nationalities, different stages of life, different humor, all the people connecting. In fact, so many people find their spouses in church. In fact, just put your hand up if you've got married and found your spouse at church. Where's Kylie? Where's Kylie? She's getting engaged to Gabe recently. Oh, hold on. Sorry, I was looking for Kylie. Who else has got married and found someone in church? Yes, come on. You see, it's all about connection. We want people to connect and find a place that they call home. Now, let me explain to you, just in case you didn't realize, that church does not finish the moment I finish speaking or Pastor Lee prays the last prayer, okay? Church is still church when we're connecting over coffee and having a brew, okay? So don't just dart off because you're missing church. If you leave this auditorium and just get in your car, you're missing the point of connection, of being family. We've got to stay connected. And the thing is that true connection, the authentic type that I was talking about, true connection, it takes space and time. It requires intentionality. It requires vulnerability. It requires consistency to truly build that kind of relationship. And it's what Jesus did. He didn't just high-five the crowds, you know, walking around. He actually went into the houses, sat down at the table, eyeballed them, and began to talk and have conversation. And that's what we want for every person. We want every person to be seen and known. And it's why we create small groups. We'll keep banging this drum about small groups because that's where you can find, you know, go to a deeper level, look at people in the eye and say, yes, I'm really struggling with this, or can you help me? And we connect small groups. So we want to create a space here where people can find connection. The second thing is this, is that we want to create space for help and healing. It says in verse 10, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Everyone falls and everyone can help. It doesn't matter what your status is in life. It doesn't matter how much wealth you have, how many accolades and achievements you have, how much property you own, how many letters are in front of your name. Every one of us walks through tough seasons in our life. No one is exempt from trouble. Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have trouble. So we all walk through different seasons, challenging seasons, tough seasons, dark seasons, low seasons. We all face that. And what we want to create at church in the house of God is a place where people who are walking through whatever season of life they find themselves in, they can come into the house of God and they can find help and they can find healing. We want this place to be a place that offers mercy upon mercy, that offers grace upon grace, where we're extravagant with our kindness, where we're tripping over ourselves to be helpful and give people practical need. You know, in times of pain, I love the fact that the church can shine so beautifully and brightly. Over the years, I've seen people walk through tragedy and have different situations. And what I've loved to see is the church family coming around those people, offering the meal train, saying, can I help you cook? Can I help look after your kids? Can I help come and do this practical need? And I'm a beneficiary of that myself. Gosh, the amount of challenging seasons we've walked through as a family. And I don't know where I'd be without my church family who come alongside and, you know, we have to put our pride down and we have to say, okay, we're going to let people help us. But I'm so glad I did because these people gave me strength, gave us strength, helped us and just said, come on, it's going to be okay. And I love the fact that every one of us can help someone. Do you know, often what it takes is simply for us just to be there, just to be there. Even in these last few weeks, I've sat on park benches. I've sat opposite tables with people of the tears rolling down their face. And do you know what? There's not a lot I can say about some of their situations other than I'm with you. I'm here. It's going to be okay. I'm praying for you. We can all help someone. And that's why our small groups are so important. And I want to encourage you, don't wait for a crisis to get yourself in a small group. It says here, pity anyone who falls down and has no one to help them up. We've got to create the relationship so that when we do go through the challenges, when we walk through the fire, when we kind of hit stumbling blocks, then we've got our church family around us who say, let me help you. Let me help you do that. So we want to be a place where people can find help. We should be. But also, we want to be a place where people can find healing. The reality is we're all a work in progress, aren't we? Okay, not just me. We're all a work in progress. But God is working on us. He's crafting us. He's shaping us. It talks about in Ephesians 2 in the New King James Version, it says that we're his workmanship, that God's just working on us and, you know, doing what he needs to do in us. And I think back to our verse from Psalm 18. You know, God, it says that God drew us out of deep water and rescued us. But I think, isn't it good that God didn't just leave us there? Like, he helped us out of the deep water. He lifted us up and put us, and to be fair, we'd have all been like, oh, thanks God, fair play, that's good. I'm out of this deep water. But God doesn't leave us there, doesn't just help us. It then says he takes us and he brings us into a spacious place. In other words, he wants us to live fully whole, fully restored, fully free. And that's what we want for the people of this city, the people in our houses. We want them not just to help. Yes, we're going to continue to help as much as we can, but we want to see them fully healed, fully restored, living the life truly that God has given them. So we are all about doing that. And I love the work of Audacious Foundation that is literally doing that. It's serving the community and making a difference, both practically and, again, helping people on the journey. You know, we feed in Manchester, we feed over 50 people twice a week. And they come and that we feed them and we do haircuts and, you know, bring dignity and hope to them. But we don't just do that. We offer programs like Rework that helps people get back into the workplace. School of Language, which is helping people with, you know, so they don't have a barrier of language, helping them up so that they can just go and live life with the gifts and the things that God's put on them. And again, there's so many different things that we offer as a church. The whole toolkit, we've got course upon course, keys to freedom, celebrate recovery, well-being course, anchored in hope, parenting course, thank you, Jesus, marriage course, thank you, Jesus, pre-marriage course, for send families, so many things we offer because we don't just want to help and that's it. We want to see people helped and healed. I love Acts 2, 42 to 47. It's probably one of my favorite passages because it's a picture of what we want to create as a church. Like everything about it, I love it. I'll just read it to you. This is the picture. This is kind of in picture form, the connection we want to see. It's the help and healing we want to see. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Connection. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. Come on, they're helping people. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What an incredible picture of the church. People connecting, people not being isolated, being lonely on their own, but people being brought in, people being helped, and they're having fun. They're enjoying the favor of one another. They're enjoying the community, the body of Christ. They're enjoying it. That is what we want to create. That space for others is what we're believing for in every location, in every campus that we have. So we want connection. We're believing that people will be helped and healed in this place. And the last thing is this, is that we want to create space for God. The final verse of here in Ecclesiastes, it says, and the Lord, It says in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. In other words, God is the glue. You see, what sets us apart from another organization or another charity with practical help is that we believe in the transforming power of God. We believe that we want others to experience that which we have experienced. I wonder if you can remember the first time that you had a God encounter that changed your life forever, where you first understood what the love of God meant, where you experienced His forgiveness, His grace, where you experienced His unconditional love, where you experienced peace for the first time, where you experienced joy, where you experienced and realized that there was a hope and a future for you, that God had a purpose and a plan. I wonder if you can remember when you first encountered God, because that is what we want for every other person that is not yet in this room. That is what we are believing for our city. That's what we're believing for this, you know, that anyone that doesn't know God, that we want to create space where people can encounter God. Like I said, it's so easy for us to just rock up every Sunday, you know, sit in our seat where we sit. Have you all found new seats from the other building? You know, you have your routine, you drop the kids off. If you've got kids, you know, you come in. It's so easy for us to come and enjoy, soak up the worship and get the teaching and then kind of go out again. But it was never meant for us just to come and do that and that alone. It was meant that this would be a space that we'd open up for other people, for everyone. Because when I read my Bible, it says that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever would know about God, that whosoever would experience His love, His kindness, His grace, His joy, that we want every person to experience the love of God. But if we're going to see that and we're going to see this city changed, then it's going to require from us to create space for others. For us to open up our lives, for us to open up our hearts for other people. I wonder what you could do this week that creates space for others. Maybe for some of you, it means, you know, arriving a little bit earlier to church to find that new person who feels a little bit awkward and say hi and sit with them. Maybe for some of you, it's making sure your plans are far enough after the service so you don't walk out the auditorium and get in your car, because church doesn't finish when we've done in here. Creating space. Maybe for some of you at work this week, it's scanning, you know, your canteen or, you know, wherever it is you do work, 9 to 5. And look for the person that looks on their own, that looks sad, that just looks like they may need somebody else, because life is better with two. Maybe for some of you, it's opened up your home, saying, hey, come and have dinner. Maybe you've connected a little bit here, or maybe for some people on your streets, you say, hey, come and have dinner. It's just opening up, creating space for relationship, creating space for opportunity to share what you have in God, what you know about God, to share it with others, other people. Every one of us can help someone. I was in Geneva 2 weeks ago, and at the end of the church, in the foyer, people were connecting, and I watched an exchange between two mums. And this one mum, she'd bought all of food for a team meeting, and I knew that because we'd had a conversation about it, and she'd got, you know, cheese and ham and bread because it's in Geneva and that's what they, you know, they eat. And it's there, and I just watched her. She was about to go out, and then she kind of paused, and she looked back into the foyer, and she scanned, and she spotted another mum. And this other mum, I think she's a single mum, she's got two kids, and you could tell she'd had a tough morning. And instead of walking out, you know, just getting on her way with all her food, I watched as she went over and she gave all this food to this mum. And you could just see the joy, the relief, the appreciation on this other mum, where clearly this one mum to another had met a need. And I was like, wow, it's so beautiful. Reaching out to others. In that moment, she could have just walked off from church and on her way, but she took a moment to create some space, looked around a room and saw someone else in need, and totally changed. I believe it totally changed this lady's afternoon with her kids. It's been totally blessed. We can all help someone. We can all do this. God's heart is for people. People matter to God. Our challenge is, are we willing to create space for others?
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.